The following is a lecture entitled 50 Years of ISKCON, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 4th, 2016, in Riga, Latvia.
So, tonight we are blessed with the opportunity to meditate and appreciate the history of one institution known as ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This ISKCON is actually an incarnation of Krishna. Krishna has appeared in the form of ISKCON. So, by taking shelter of ISKCON, one is directly taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, ISKCON was formally incorporated in 1966, which is 50 years ago. Sometime in July in New York City, in a little tiny storefront. This room is huge compared to the original ISKCON temple. I've been there several times. Consider between the wall here where Gurudas is sitting and these pillars. That's how wide it was. And then it went a little bit deeper than that. Maybe from the wall out here to the out to the hall. Maybe a little bit more. But that's about it. Tiny little storefront. But Prabhupada had this vision. Of course, that vision goes back. The history of why Prabhupada started ISKCON goes way back before 1966.
Yeah.
Began in 1922. At that time, Prabhupada was the manager of a big chemical factory in Bengal, Calcutta. Dr. Bose had introduced allopathic medicine into India. It was a very big business, and he was managing the chemical factory. So at that time his name was Abhay Chandan Day. And his friend Narendranath Malik came to the office at the chemical factory. He said, "Abhay, there's a very great sadhu. You must come here. This very great sadhu from Mayapur has come." So Abhay said, "Yes, I know these sadhus. They are bogus. I'm not interested to hear such so-called sadhu." No, Abhay, this one is he's a great devotee, a great sadhu. You must come here. So finally Abhay agreed. He said, practically, my friend dragged me to see Guru Maharaj. So anyway, he goes to the place. It's there in a neighborhood in Calcutta. It's called, what is it? What's it called? Ultadanga, yeah. ISKCON has now purchased that building where that first conversation took place. Ultadanga, Calcutta. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, he was giving darshan on the rooftop. And as soon as Abhay walked in, he immediately was given an order. Just like, we have anybody here for the first time tonight? Anyone here for the first time? Just imagine if you were here for the first time, you just walked in and I gave you an order. Now you must dedicate your life for getting Krishna consciousness to the world. You just walked in the door and you got the spiritual master gives you an order. You're a complete stranger. You walked in and here's a guru giving you an order. So that's what happened to Abhay Charan. Spiritual master said, you must give Krishna consciousness to the English speaking world. So Abhay was a bit taken aback. What is he? How he can tell me this? This is not a very important thing, giving Krishna consciousness to the world. At that time, Abhay was wearing white khadi, the hand-woven dhoti. The British came to, they took over India, and they took the Indian cotton, they took it back to London in the mills, and they made cloth and sent it back to India and sold it at a high price. That's where they were strangling and exploiting India like anything. So Mahatma Gandhi, he made one program that we will weave our own cloth. We won't take this British woven cloth, we will make our own cloth. Hand woven dhoti. Just like this dhoti is hand woven dhoti. So Abhay, if you were a Gandhi and you wore khadi, the hand woven, you wouldn't wear the mill woven stuff. Hand woven, you would show you're a Gandhian, yes. I am against this British rule. So Abhay Charan came in his white khadi, showing he was against British rule. Because the most important thing to do is get the British out of India. That's which we're meditating on, how to get the British out of India. But now he's being told, no, don't worry about getting the British out of India, just spread the message of Krishna. So, being a dedicated Gandhi, and he argued with Guru Maharaj. But he was soundly defeated by Guru
Maharaj.
And he accepted that defeat. Actually, Prabhupada said, practically he initiated me. Actually, he was not formally initiated until
1933.
11 years later. But he said, practically he initiated me. Because in his heart he accepted, oh, this is my guru, my spiritual master. And he was always thinking, oh, I have met such a nice saintly person, great saintly person. So he was thinking, now how can I do that? How can I spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world? About 11 years later, he was initiated. And then, in 1936, just prior to Guru Maharaj's passing out of this world, this now his name is Abhay Charanaravinda. His initiated name, Abhay Charanaravinda. So he writes to Guru Maharaj that, yeah, your other disciples there, brahmacharis, sannyasis, are actively engaged in serving your mission, but what I can do for you? I am householder, very much absorbed in business activities. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? He got the same exact instruction he had gotten at Uttadanga. Spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. And then shortly after that, Guru Maharaj departed, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati departed. So now, how to do it? That is the question, how to spread it? He tried making one magazine called Back to Godhead in English. Distributing it to Hindu gentlemen. He started an institution called the League of Devotees in Jhansi, India. He got one property tentatively donated for his temple. And he was operating a temple there in Jhansi. He even made one disciple also in Jhansi. But then the tentative agreement was cancelled and he lost the temple.
Bet pēc tam šis viņa dāvinājuma līgums tika tā kā anulēts un īpaši
and his business also burned to the ground.
Un viņa tātad šis biznes var tiešām nozīmē notika.
So now he was and actually he took sannyasa. So.
Un pēc šī notikuma viņš pieņēma sannyasa.
And he went to Vrindavan and retired. He went to Vrindavan to write the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Then he was able to arrange a free passage on the Scindia steamship line. He got a free passage to the United States on the ship Jaladutta. So he had a few cases of his the first canto of the Bhagavatam published in India. And he headed out to America. But on the ship he had a heart attack. Two heart attacks. He was thinking, if it happens again, I will die. But then he had a wonderful dream with Krishna appearing to him. And he survived, he did not have the third heart attack. So he arrived in New York City. He actually first landed in Boston Harbor. There's the famous prayers he wrote, arrival prayers. It's Bengali and English, actually. One disciple has made a nice melody for these prayers, the Bengali prayers.
tas ir gan angļu, gan bengāļu valodā, un kāds Bahti ir satrēts brīnišķīgi melodija šajā bengāļu versijai.
He was praying, my dear Krishna, I'm just a puppet, and you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like.
Kur Prabhupāda raksta, ka mans dārgais kungs, es esmu tikai rotaļu lele, un tāpēc liec man dejot kā vienkārbīgi.
So in this way, he had an invitation to go to Butler, Pennsylvania. He had to have a sponsor to come to the U.S. So Mr. Gopal Agrawal in Butler, Pennsylvania, whose son was in Mathura, agreed to be his sponsor, or his father. His father was in Mathura.
Jā, tad kāds, viņam bija sponsors Indijā, kurš apmaksāja viņam šo ceļu, lai dotos pie viņa dēla, kurš dzīvo Pensilvānijā.
So he came there as a guest in the home of Gopal and Sally Agrawal. Sally was an American woman.
Un tā viņš tātad devās pie šiem cilvēkiem, Gopal, kas bija Indijas, un Sally, kas bija Amerikāniet, un dzīvoja pie viņiem, lai Pensilvānijā.
So they got Prabhupada room at the YMCA, which is the Young Men's Christian Association.
Un tā viņam bija iedalīta istabiņa kādā jaunā kristiešu.
And he would come every day to their apartment, they would feed him, and he would talk with guests, and in this way he did a little preaching to the American people there in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Un tātad šajā vietā viņam apmaksāja uzturēšanos un ēdināšanu, un tā viņš to sludināja kādiem cilvēkiem šajā dzīvot, un tā viņš kā laika uzturējās.
But then it was time for him to go to New York City.
Pēc tam pienāca laiks viņam doties uz New York City.
Where the real preaching would begin.
Kur sāktos īstā sludināšana.
He had no money to speak of. He only had 40 rupees, which is nothing.
Un viņam nebija līdzi gan drīz nemaz naudas, aptuveni 40 rupees.
But he had his books. And he had the name and address of one yogi in Manhattan, one yogi.
Un viņam vēl līdzi bija kāda yoga vārds un adrese Manhattanā, New Yorkā.
So he was able to, this yogi gave him meals and also a place to bath, take his bath, but he got a little tiny office nearby, a few blocks away where he would live, he'd sleep at night.
Un šis jogs tad deva iespēju nomazgāties un arī pārnakšņot.
There are actually recordings from that programs that Prabhupada had in that little tiny office in Manhattan, the midtown Manhattan, west side of the mid Manhattan.
Un tātad šajā Manhattanas daļā ir pat no šajā nelielā office telpa, ko viņš uzturējās, ir saglabājušies arī pāris
ierakstus. And one lecture he's remembering his Vrindavan.
Un kādā no šiem ierakstiem viņš kavējas atmiņās par laiku Vrindavan.
So some of the, at that time there was a phenomenon happened amongst the young people, the people, they were called hippies.
Un šajā laikā, šis laiks arī pazīstams ar tādu fenomenu, kas izplatīts jauniešu vidū, hippie kustību.
They were interested in Eastern philosophy and meditation and yoga. And sex and drugs. So they heard about the word got around the hippie area, the Lower East Side, Greenwich Village. The word went around about this yogi in uptown Manhattan. The Swami.
Un tā, kādā no šīm pilsētas daļām, kur uzturējās hippie, izplatījās ziņa, ka citā pilsētas daļā ir atrasts.
So, some of these hippies, they would come up and they would hear the Swami.
Un tā šie hippie ieradās, lai apskatītos, kas ir par jogu.
And they were really, really impressed.
Un viņi bija patiešām ļoti, ļoti...
And then, one day, all of Prabhupada's... He had a reel-to-reel tape machine for recording his lectures. His tape recorder was stolen.
Viņam bija ļoti tāda patīk pārsteigt, satikt, un viņam bija arī ierakstu magnetofons, kur vienas vienas nozaga.
He suspected the janitor, the one who did the cleaning in the building.
Un aizdomas krita uz ēkas pārvaldnieku, kuram justicēja.
So he realized it wasn't good for him to stay there.
Jā, tad viņam bija kritētams uz ēkas apkopēja, kas to ir.
And he got an offer from these hippies that they had, one of them had a loft, which is what artists would rent these old factories and use them for their artwork. Their paintings. So he was given to share one loft with some hippie boy named David.
nevis uzglāt namus, bet ir iespēja viņam pārcelties uz kādu citu tēlu un kopā ar jaunu puisi.
So now he had a big facility and down in the neighborhood where all the hippies were living. After they would stay up all night taking drugs and doing music, they would in the morning they would come in for a morning kirtan with the Swami. So it was a regular thing. They would have to, it was the Lower East Side down in the where the derelicts were lying in drunken stupors on the sidewalk. It was a very low class place. Even coming up the stairwell, there'd be alcoholics passed out there from alcohol laying. You have to walk around the alcoholics to get in.
Un lai nokļūtu savā mājoklī, nācās manevrēties starp piedārušiem, nemanā guļošiem cilvēkiem.
But Prabhupāda was having the programs there.
Bet Prabhupāda tur devās, lai tātad sniegtu programmu.
And then one day the boy David went crazy on LSD, became like a monster.
Un kādu dienu šis viņa istabu biedrs, viņš LSD iespaidā kļuva pilnīgi traks.
And Prabhupāda left, never to go back again from that place.
Un Prabhupāda nepaļāvies pamēt to vietu, lai tur vairs nekad neatgrieztos.
But one of the boys who had been coming to the programs, he gave Swamiji a place to stay with him and his girlfriend.
Un viens no šiem jaunajiem puišiem, kurš apmeklē Swamiji lekcijas, piedāvā viņam apmesties pie sevis ar draudzeni.
And there was only one problem.
Bet bija tikai viena.
There was meat in the refrigerator.
Ka viņam vecskapī glabājās gaļa.
So how you're supposed to keep your bhoga in the same, you can offer to Krishna in the same refrigerator with meat? It's against the rules. So if Prabhupada had been, you know, super strict about the rules, he would say, "Well, I got to go back to India. I can't live in a place where I have to put my bhoga in the same refrigerator with meat."
Tik super stingrs, ka viņš teiktu, nē, man jādodas atpakaļ uz Indiju, tāpēc, ka es, man jādodā produkti kopā, jādod vietā, jādodā produkti kopā ar daļu.
Actually, the couple were vegetarians. The meat was for their cat.
Patiesībā šī gada bija paredzēta viņu maitinieku un kaķiņu.
But Prabhupāda had to tolerate that.
Un Prabhupādam nācā to pieciest.
Out of his dedication to his spiritual master, he had to stay in a place where there was meat in the refrigerator. Actually, for a pure brahmana, that's an intolerable situation. But he tolerated it for the sake of serving his spiritual master. But he had no place now for his meetings. But he had one student, his name was Michael Grant. And he wanted to help Swamiji get a place. But places were very hard to get. As soon as it's advertised in the paper, immediately five or six people go wanting to rent it immediately. It's very difficult to get a place.
Jo tiklīdz kā parādījās kāds sludinājums avīzē, tā vismaz 5 vai 6 cilvēki mēģināja to.
But there's a neighborhood newspaper called the East Village Other.
Un bija kāda vieta, kas saucās Austrumu, tā kā.
And Michael Grant was very neighborhood savvy. Savvy means knowledgeable.
Jā, un tātad šis puisis, viņš bija ļoti labi pārzinājis šīs vietas tajā pilsētas dēļ.
When they delivered that paper to all the different places around the East Village, he knew what was the first place they dropped off the newspaper.
Jā, un kad avīzē parādījās šie sludinājumi par šo pilsētas dēļ, viņš tūlīt zināja, kuras vietas ir labākas un piemērotākas.
So he went to that place to catch the first newspaper, to be the first one to read the newspaper.
Tad, kad avīzes izvadāja, viņš zināja, kurā vietā izvadā firmā, kurs ir pirmais
Jā, satvainojos, tātad viņš ļoti labi zināja, kurā vietā ir pie šīm amerēziem tiknis, kā viņas tiek izplatīts, un tāpēc viņš bija pirmais, kurš tās ieguva.
And there was a little, there was a storefront for rent at 26 Second Avenue.
Un tur bija tātad sludinājums par to, ka iespēja izīrēt veikalu telpas 26. Avenijā.
So immediately called the landlord, immediately went there and he got Swamiji, and immediately went, immediately first thing.
Un viņi nekavējoties sazvanīja un sarunāja tikšanos.
And Swamiji, he saw the storefront, he saw it was suitable.
Un tad devās tur kopā ar Swamiji, viņš to apskatīja, atzina to par piemēru.
He found there's a little apartment, there's behind the storefront is a little tiny courtyard.
Un izejot cauri veikalu telpām.
The other side of the courtyard, just up one flight of stairs, is a little tiny apartment also.
Aiz kura sekoja ieeja nelielā dzīvoklī.
So Prabhupada negotiated a deal with a landlord, a very expert businessman. ISKCON was not yet incorporated. But he offered the landlord, I will make you a member of our society. For a discount on the rent. And then landlord agreed, he became the first ISKCON member, even before there was ISKCON. By giving Swamiji, I think the rent was $200 a month.
Yeah.
So now Prabhupada has the storefront, a little apartment behind the storefront. And there's a few boys who were coming over there to the loft who knew about the Swamiji. So he's walking down the street there on Houston Street in Lower East Side of Manhattan. And there was one young boy, his name was Howard Wheeler. He and his friend Keith had actually gone to India seeking a guru. Actually, they got a job working on a freighter, so they get a free passage to India and back and forth by working on the ship. The ship they had worked on was called the Jaladuta, the same ship that Prabhupada came on. But they couldn't find what they thought could be their guru. They couldn't find anybody in India. They thought this person suitable for their guru. So one morning, Howard Wheeler, he's walking down the street, Houston Street. And he notices this Swamiji walking down the street. Even though New York City was roaring all around like a big monster. The Swamiji seemed like a famous personality stepping out of a famous movie, like a superstar. He was just amazed to see this Swamiji.
Tā aina, viņam izskatījās tāda, it kā kāds slavens filmu varonis iznāktu no izcelsotnes kopējās ainas.
So he approached him and Swamiji told him about the meetings on Monday, Wednesday and Friday evenings at 26 Second Avenue.
Un tā viņš tātad uzrunāja šo Swamiji, kurš viņam pastāstīja, ka notiek tikšanās.
And so he got his friend Keith and also their other friend named Wally.
Un tad viņš uzaicināja uz šo vietu savu draugu Kītu un vēl kādu draugu.
And they went over to check out the Swami.
Un viņi devās apskatīties.
Now the storefront was very bare, just a little light bulb hanging from the ceiling. It's really an ugly, bare room.
Un šī vieta sākotnēji viņa bija tāda necila, pēc tam tāda neglīta.
But when they'd gone to India, they brought all kinds of stuff, Indian bedspreads and all kinds of posters. They had all kinds of paraphernalia they brought back from India.
Un atgriežoties no Indijas, kā reiz viņi bija tur satirkuši dažādi veidi aksesuārus un fotogrāfijas.
So Howard, Keith, and Wally were the first interior decorators for ISKCON. They completely transformed the store and made like a mystical. So in this way, the movement took off. When it really took off is one Sunday they went to Tompkins Square Park, which is a few blocks away.
Un tā īsto aspēri, tā iego kādā svētdienā, kad
and they had a kirtan underneath a tree. Actually, if you go to New York City, go to Compton Square Park and you'll see that tree. There's a plaque. The city of New York has made a plaque commemorating. This is the plaque under which Swami Bhaktivedanta began the Krishna consciousness movement.
Un patiesībā, ja jūs šodien dotos apmeklēt New York pilsētu, tad šajā parkā, pie tā koka, kur notika šis slavenais kirtans, ir uzlikta piemiņas plāksne par to, ka tur notika ISKCON.
At that time, there was a very famous poet who was very famous for the hippies. He had a famous poem called Howl, like a howling animal, howl. And he was really looked up to by all the hippies, you see. So he came to join the kirtan. And the New York Times came to cover this event. Swami attracts the flock in the park or something like that. In the East Village, other also covered it. And there's that famous picture of Prabhupada standing under the tree that was published in the newspaper in New York City. On that day, the Brahmananda and Achyutananda, they stood up and danced.
Un tajā laikā šie Brahmananda un Achyutananda viņi piecēlās kājās un uzsāk dejot.
The thing was that once you stand up and dance, you can't sit down again. That was the move. Once you stand up and dance, you have to keep dancing.
Un tajā laikā tā bija noskaņojums, ka jūs piecēlies kājās un sākat dejot, tad jūs nevarat vairs apsēties.
So Swami had a little bongo drum and he went on, he chanted for 3 hours.
Un tā kā Swami līdzi bija nelielās bungas, tad viņš turpināja kirtanu 3 stundas.
So those boys had to keep dancing for 3 hours.
Un tiem puišiem bija jātapina dejot 3 stundu garumā.
So in this way the movement began to gain momentum, you see.
Un tādā veidā tātad jā, kustībā viņi ieguva šo gadspēju.
And then in July of 1966, in one evening, Prabhupada formally incorporated ISKCON.
Un tad kādā brīdī, 1968. Gada jūlijā, Prabhupāda formāli.
Devotees couldn't imagine how can this be the international society? It's a little tiny storefront. International society? It couldn't envision it. But Prabhupada had this vision. Keith, who became Kirtananda, argued, Swamiji, we should call it the International Society for God Conscious. It will be more acceptable to the people if we do that. Prabhupada didn't accept that. The International Society for God Consciousness, no. Krishna. That is Krishna. He insisted this be Krishna Consciousness.
Tātad viņš uzstāja, lai šis nosaukums būtu starptautiskā dieva apziņas kustība, bet Prabhupāda nepiekrita viņam uzsvērt, ka jāparādās vārdam Krišna, tieši Krišnas.
So in this way, the program became very regular programs there. I went for one time a program there at the storefront many years ago, and many devotees came and gave their memories when they first joined that storefront.
Un bija kāds notikums, kur šajā vietā savācās kopā vecākie bhaktas un atcerējās tā laika notikums.
My godbrother Jayadvaita Swami, he told about the Sunday feast.
Un mans garīgais brālis Jayadvaita Swami, viņš pastāstīja par kādu.
He described each prep in detail. The street riots, the pakoras, the gulab jamuns, the puris, just the list went on and on and on and on and on. Must have been at least 20 preps, you see. That is feast, you see.
Look, that's a meal.
Sometimes I see that they just have, you know, one or two preps, they call it a feast. It's not a feast. It's just a lunch. A feast means 20, you know, 10, 15, 20 preps. That's a feast. But the feast was so amazing. Cooked by Prabhupada himself, if you can imagine.
Wow.
Prabhupada cooking it. He said, you would have to be nuts not to join. But it was, in the beginning, no one knew what devotional service meant. Swamiji would collect the donations. He would go buy the boga for the feast. He would cook the feast all by himself. He would personally serve out the feast to all the guests. And at the end, he would personally wash all the dishes all by himself. But one of the boys who enjoyed the feast, he was thinking, well, I wonder who helps Swamiji to do the dishes after the feast. So he stayed after everybody else left. He went back to the kitchen. He saw Swamiji was there all alone doing the cleanup all by himself. And he offered to help Swamiji. You can imagine how much mercy he got from Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so pleased with that boy for doing that. Oh, he was so pleased. So in this way, Michael Grant, he became Mukunda. And he had his girlfriend, and Prabhupada married them. Janaki. And so Mukunda had this idea to go to India. But he thought to go to San Francisco on the way and check out, because there was a whole hippie scene happening in San Francisco in Haight-Ashbury, a big, huge hippie scene developing there in Haight-Ashbury. So on the way he went to visit some friends in Oregon. He had some friends that were working in a fire lookout station in the forest. Sam and Melanie. And also there was another friend, Janaki's sister. Her name was, I forget her Karmi name, she became Jamuna Devi. Jane. So anyway, she had actually come for the wedding and helped. She had come and helped cook the feast for Janaki's wedding. She came all the way to New York to attend her sister's wedding. She was smoking cigarettes at the time. So she'd be cooking for a while and she'd go take a cigarette break, and then she'd probably tell her to wash her hands after smoking a cigarette. So anyway, Mukunda was able to convince Jamuna or Jane, whatever, along with her boyfriend, who became Gurudas, along with Sam, who became Shamasundar, and Melanie, who became Malati, to all come to San Francisco. So there's three couples now in San Francisco. And Sam, he was very knowledgeable. He was very expert at dealing with, you know, like leading people. He knew the people. There was some famous rock bands at that time really taking off, the Grateful Dead, the Jefferson Airplane, especially. And he knew the the promoters. He knew how to move in the circles of the music promoters.
Un viens no šiem cilvēkiem, Sams, viņš bija tāds apdāvināts, viņš ļoti labi prata runāt ar cilvēkiem, un viņš bija starp...
So he was able to, there was a place called the Avalon Ballroom, which was one of the two places where all the hippies would go to hear the rock concerts.
Jā, viņš bija koncerta organizācija, viņš bija tāds, un tā viņi devās uz kādu vietu, tātad San Francisco, kur šie hippie uzturējās.
So he arranged a mantra rock program at the Avalon Ballroom, and they got him to donate the Avalon Ballroom.
Un viņiem tika ziedot kāds šāda vieta, kur viņi uzrīkoja mantras.
It was a benefit concert for the Hare Krishna temple.
Un tas bija tāds ziedojuma vākšanas koncerts.
And the big famous bands were there, all the big names, all the biggest names in music were there that night.
Un to, kad tur piedalījās visi
Jefferson Airplane, Grateful Dead, Timothy Leary also, let's see, Timothy Leary. Yeah, Timothy Leary came, the famous LSD guru of the hippies, he came, and even, what was his name, the one who had synthesized, it was, I forget his name. All the big names came that night to attend. And when Prabhupada came in, everybody respectfully cleared away. Everyone was very respectful. And they just chanted and danced in ecstasy. The place just exploded with the Mahamantra. Allen Ginsberg also came. So it was a very big thing. They got some good money from that to help the temple get started. And then, so they started the second temple there in at 918 Frederick Street in San Francisco. Right there in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood, just on the side of Golden Gate Park. Actually, I went to San Francisco as a hippie in 1968. And I met the devotees. They went to that storefront, chanting with the
devotees.
So that was the second temple.
And
then went over into Montreal, and then it just started expanding out. So now Sam Shamasundar, he had this idea, I think we could give Krishna consciousness to the Beatles. That would be huge for our movement. Make the Beatles devotees. He had a very big vision, you see. So his friend Makunda, oh, that's just some pie in the sky, some pipe dream. You could never do that. But Shamasundar was convinced we could do it. Make the Beatles Krishna conscious. So he wanted to go to London to do that. And Prabhupada blessed it. So now that was three couples. Gurudas was now married to Jamuna, and then Shamasundar and Malati, and Janaki and Mukunda, along with the baby daughter of Shamasundar and Malati, and Sarasvati, they headed out for the UK. They had very little money. They didn't have, actually, to enter the UK in those days, you had to have so much cash money. You couldn't just come in without money. You had to show your money to get in.
Un toreiz bija tāds noteikums, ka šķērsojot robežu, jums bija jāuzrāda noteikts naudas apjoms.
But they didn't have that much money. So they went to Amsterdam, and they only have money one money for one person to get into the UK. So one devotee would enter, they wire the money back to Amsterdam. They would wire the money back to Amsterdam, and the second devotee would come across with that money, and they wire that back. They did that again and again until all six devotees could get in.
Jā, un tā viņi tātad no Lielbritānijas, no Amsterdams viņi apmaksāja vienam cilvēkam šo te iebraukšanu Lielbritānijā, un pēc tam tā no Lielbritānijas pārsūtīja nav nākošajam cilvēkam, un nākošajam, un tā pa vienam cilvēkam iebrauca.
They had no fixed place, they had to stay with different people, you know, one couple would stay with some family, some, they weren't together, but they were all splayed out in different places.
Un lai arī viņi darbojās kopīgi, bet viņiem nebija kopējas pastāvīgas dzīves vietas, tāpēc viņi...
But finally they got someone to agree to give some warehouse. It was not being an empty warehouse. It wasn't being used for anything. There was no heat. No hot water. But with great austerity they lived in this warehouse. And began their center in London. In the meantime, they're trying to think how we can contact the Beatles. They tried all kinds of techniques. The Beatles had Apple Records, so they would make an apple pie and send it with Hare Krishna written on it and send it to Apple Records. Somehow, how we can meet the Beatles, they just didn't know how to do it. But then some of the music buddies from San Francisco came to London. They needed a place to stay, so the devotees invited them into their place in the warehouse.
Un tā kā viņam nebija arī vietas, kur palikt, viņi uzaicināja pie sevis uz šo noliktavu.
Turns out the Beatles had decided to meet with different people. And these people had an invitation to meet the Beatles.
Un Beatles tajā laikā vēlējā organizēja dažādas tikšanās ar cilvēkiem, un kādu no šiem cilvēkiem...
So, Shama Sundar said, well, do you think I could tag along with you?
Un Shama Sundar kādu no šiem cilvēkiem jautāja, vai varbūt es varētu doties tev līdzi?
They said, sure, come on. So he got into Apple Records. And the Beatles had this idea to be very liberal and to help more and more people and music people to, you know, make it. They had some idea at one point to open up Apple Records to many different types of people. So there's this whole room full of people waiting to meet the Beatles. And they're in another room and they're just going on in a long meeting that goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And finally the Beatles come out of the room. They kind of glance out the crowd of people and they just walk away. Ringo, John and Paul just kind of walk away. But George looks through this big, huge crowd of people in the room. Over there on the far edge of the room, he sees this shaved head Hare Krishna. George ignores everybody else in the room. He ignores everybody else. He makes a beeline over there to that Hare Krishna. He says, where have you been, man? I've been looking for you guys. So that began the relations. And
un tā iesākās šīs attiecības.
George and Shama Sundar really hit it off.
Yeah.
Shama Sundar used that as a way of rocking, you know, he kind of rock, you know. When he's sitting, he kind of like rock, you know. And George would rock with them. They really, George and Shama Sundar really resonated together. So he invited devotees to his house. They did kirtan. They do kirtan for hours. George loved the kirtan.
So now
Prabhupada had written the Krishna book, but he needed the money to publish it. He didn't have any money. He needed like $17,000, $19,000 to print the Krishna book.
But
no money. The devotees were poor. But George was rich. So Prabhupada asked Shama Sundar, you asked George if he can donate the money for the printing. Shama is thinking, oh no, because everybody is always asking George for money and he hates it when people ask him for money.
It'll
spoil our relationship. He'll just think you're another one of those groups who are after my money. Shama Sundar did not want to ask George for the money.
But
Prabhupada ordered him, you have to do this. So what could he do? He decided to make Prabhupada the bad guy. Prabhupada said, don't worry, Krishna will help you. Thank you, Manaji. So they went over, they're having they're visiting George, having dinner at his house. And now the moment that Shama Sundar has been dreading, he has to ask George for the money. So that, you know, George Prabhupada has written this Krishna book, he needs somebody to publish it, he needs, you know, $19,000. Do you think you could give the $19,000? Prabhupada asked me to ask you. And George got this disgusted look on his face. Oh, you people just like those other groups. This really disgusted look on his face. And then, boom! Lightning hit the house. And it was completely, the power was out of his head. They were complete and pitch black. It was a direct hit of lightning on that very house. It was a very heavy thing.
And
the lights were off for a long time. It's sitting there in complete dark, and it was like shaking. Very heavy, you know. Then after a while, the lights come on. And George had this big ear-to-ear grin on his face.
He said,
after that, what can I say? So Prabhupada said, Krishna will help you. And just as he was asking George for the donation, the lightning hit. Like Krishna's arrangement. So these are the kind of miracles that happen in the early days of ISKCON. Shama Sundar relates another time when the temple was completely broke, there was no money, they had no way to pay the bills. He was walking down the street in Haight-Ashbury. Also, there's a bunch of $100 bills blowing down the street.
naudas, lai maksātu rēķinas, un viņam vēš pretējot pa ielu pūš $100 banknotes.
So I can tell you, my dear ladies and gentlemen, this movement was built on miracles. That are all coming by the mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna. And there are so many miracles going on. And it's still going on. So I don't know how I can cover this 50 years of ISKCON Lila, and you know, maybe 50 hours we could do a little justice. But I only have an hour and a half. How I can talk about 50 years of ISKCON? So then gradually Santa Fe opened, and then Los Angeles opened, and then Prabhupada was sitting in the room with the devotees, and he had a globe, and he said, you will go to Africa, you will go here. He divided all the globe, the whole world up between all the devotees in the room. You will go to this continent, you will go to this. He divided the whole globe up. So Prabhupada's vision was the whole world in Krishna conscious. I personally, of course, witnessed some of the ISKCON histories. I visited the devotees in 68 in San Francisco. I was there in Berkeley in 69 when our movement expanded to Berkeley. I saw that happen. Two brahmacharis came, Mukhanlal Das Brahmachari and one other brahmachari, they came. Mukhanlal would stand out on Telegraph Avenue, which is the center of the town where all the hippies would hang out, with a conch shell. He would collect donations in a conch shell. And he arranged one program for he arranged a program for Prabhupada there by the campus. Prabhupada came one evening in early 1969 to do a program there at Berkeley. But I was a puffed up singer-songwriter at the time. I thought I was God, And so I didn't go. And then I remember I came back to Berkeley the next year. I went back to Texas and did my singing, songwriting over there, but then I came back to visit Berkeley. And now they had a house. When Mataji had donated, she was letting the devotees use her house. She would live upstairs. She gave them the whole downstairs. And they'd be using it as a preaching center. So she invited that we're going to L.A. The Prabhupada will be there. You can come with us. But I was so foolish, I didn't go to meet Prabhupada. One of the brahmacharis has said we have to follow the higher authorities. I'm thinking, ooh, how horrible. What a horrible idea. Follow higher authorities. The hippies rejected all authority. But then the following year in 71, I was back in Austin. And Vishnu Janaswami shows up. Of course, there's a whole history of that, how that happened, how he came to Austin.
Tur ir vesels stāsts, kā tas notika, kā viņš ieradās Ostinā.
But he was amazing.
Bet viņš bija apbrīnojams.
Like the Pied Piper entering a temple, he immediately attracted a huge following.
Jā, viņam ierodoties, viņš nekavējoties piesaistījās sev uzmanību.
The way he would sing, the way he would preach.
Tas, kā viņš dziedāja, kā viņš sludināja.
He would just be captivated by it.
Ikvienu vienkārši tā kā pārņēma.
It was so amazing.
Tas bija apbrīnojami.
Plus, I was going through a very intense inner soul-searching, trying to discover what God wanted me to do with my life.
Un tajā brīdī, manā personīgā dzīvē, es ļoti intensīvi meklēju Dievu savā dzīvē.
I became convinced that I was not God, and I had to surrender to the will of God.
Tajā laikā arī es gūpu pārliecību, ka es pats neesmu Dievs, bet ka man ir
So just that time when I was praying for guidance, how to do what is the will of God, that's when Krishna sent him to Austin.
Un tieši tajā brīdī, kad es lūdzu Dievam, viņš dod man turpmāku tālāku vadību, ieradās viņš Austinā.
So I got to witness that part of ISKCON's history very intimately, how ISKCON came to Austin.
Un tāpēc šos notikumus, kā ISKCON ieradās un izplatījās Austinam, bija iespēja personīgi ļoti privāti, tā teikt, piedzīvot un liecināt par to.
There's so many stories how ISKCON came to Riga. I mean, I missed that. There was some remnants. Gurdas was telling me. I just missed that. The memories of how ISKCON came to Riga.
Un ir tik daudz stāstu par to, kā izklāt izplatījies, un, piemēram, kā izklāt izplatījies šeit Rīgā, Gudars, par lūmu un par to stāstu.
So this is all part of the 50 years of ISKCON. There's so many, and we could write many, many volumes of history books.
Tāpēc par šiem notikumiem, par ISKCON 50 gadu un par notikumiem, kas...
How ISKCON came to Tallinn, how it came to Riga, how it came to Lithuania.
Varētu sarakstīt daudz grāmatas sējumus, kā ISKCON nonāca
Tallinnā. I've heard stories how in Lithuania during... The Russian era, devotees made a deal to print the books. There was one businessman who was after money. They would, at night, when all the workers would go, there was a special secret thing at night, printing Prabhupada's books at night.
Piemēram, par tādu notikumu Lietuvā, kā padomu laikos, Baptists panāca to, ka viņi devās.
I mean, the whole history of ISKCON and the Soviet Union, that's an amazing history in itself, you see. So what to speak, actually we're making history right now. This is also everything what we're doing right now is also making ISKCON history. I always say, why study history when you can be history?
Es pat teiktu, kāpēc varbūt ir iedziļināties vai tā izzināt šo pagātni, ja mēs varam...
ISKCON is the greatest historical event in the universal history.
Un ISKCON's visuma vēsturē būs nozīmīgākais.
Because this movement is in the process of completely revolutionizing the whole universe.
Jo šī kustība, viņa pilnībā pārveidos revolucionalizēs.
This is the cutting edge of world history happening right here, right now.
Šobrīd, šeit un tagad notiek tā paši zīmīgākie notikumi vēsturē.
And we get to participate in it.
Un mums ir iespēja būt par to daļu, piedalīties tajā.
You see, we read the history books about, well, George Washington, or you have your heroes here in Latvia. We hear about these. We used to imagine if you get to be one of the great heroes, you see. Just like today, Independence Day, you see, this great historical event in independence. That is not independence. This movement is the real independence. We are liberating living entities who have been caught up in the cycle of birth and death since time immemorial. We are liberating thousands and millions of living entities in the process of liberating the whole universe.
Jo mēs atbrīvojam tūkstošiem un miljoniem dzīvo būtņu, kuri kopš neatmeniem laikiem ir šeit iestrēguši ar dzimšanas un nāvis.
So this is the real independence movement.
Lūk, tāpēc šis ir īsta neatkarība kustība.
So now we have the 50 years of ISKCON. There'll be the 100 years, there'll be the 500 years, there'll be the 1,000 years, there'll be the 10,000 years of ISKCON history.
Tāpat kā pienākuši 50 gadi, tāpat pienāk 100 gadi, 150 gadi, 1,000 gadi un 10,000.
Some devotees are so enlivened by ISKCON. Being a part of ISKCON, they want to take birth after birth until the whole world becomes ISKCON. Or under the influence of ISKCON, at least. Prabhupada said, even if we can make 1% of the world Krishna conscious, history will completely change. And then he said, even less than 1%. So what is the current world population?
7 billion.
So 1% would be 7 million, isn't it? 7 million. What's 1% of 7 billion? Huh? 70 million. Yes, okay. So if we can even make 50 million people into strict followers of Prabhupada's teachings, 50 million is all we need. A mere 50 million people who are taking Prabhupada's teachings as their life and soul. That's all it will take to for a complete revolution of the world. What is the population of Latvia?
Less than 2 million.
How many?
Less than 2.
1.8 million. Okay. So we had to, get more than Latvia. But the U.S. population is much more than 50. So anyway, let us, as an our offering for the 50, but the number 50, see? It's just the same number, 50. Let us make this pledge, each one of us. On the occasion of the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. That I am dedicated to do whatever I can to bring 50 million people to this movement. If we can pull this off, then world history will be completely changed. There'll be no more slaughterhouses, there'll no more abortion clinics, all of this sinful garbage will be finished. The magic number is 50. Always remember, 50th anniversary and 50 million people. The media, if we can just imagine through the media, I mean, how many Twitter followers does Trump have?
8 million?
Well, that's just imagine we get 50 million Twitter followers. I mean, it's there, you could do it. On Twitter, you could have 50 million people. There are 50, distributing 50 million books. That's not that difficult. If every devotee in ISKCON, let's say there's 50,000 devotees, that's 1,000 books each, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have many of these distributors who've done far more than 1,000 books. In a good day, a book distributor can do 100 books in one day. In a week and a half, a good book distributor can do 1,000 books. Actually, we've already distributed more than 50 million books. So we just have to keep pushing forward this movement. Prabhupada is in great distress over the suffering souls. See Prabhupada's distress over the suffering souls. Let us relieve Prabhupada of this distress. Or let us share this distress with Srila Prabhupada. He is great anxiety to see the suffering souls of this world. So let us share this burden of Prabhupada's anxiety over the suffering souls. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Questions? Yeah?
Чтобы проповедовать, нужна квалификация, чтобы она была качественной. Как получить эту квалификацию?
In order to successfully preach, we need a proper qualification. How to attain it?
Proper association. Proper what? What's the question?
So the question was in order to properly preach, we need a qualification.
Qualification. Yeah, you have to get initiated.
Tātad jautājums par to, lai mēs varētu veiksmīgi sludināt, mums ir nepieciešama atbilstoša kvalifikācija, kā to iegūt.
Are you initiated?
Sākotnēji jums
ir jāiegūt iniciācija. Are you strictly following your spiritual master's instructions?
Vai esat iniciācija, jā, vai jūs stingri sekojat tātad zadošiem noratījumiem?
I mean, what is it?
I hope that I do.
Well, you have to really see if you're purely chanting the holy names, are you following all of the instructions, you have to see if you're actually how purely you're actually following, because the reality is none of us are actually purely following. That's the problem. We're still lusty. We're still attracted by the opposite sex. We're still greedy. We get angry. You see? We're lazy. We're crazy. We have so many faults. That's what's holding the movement back. Our own anarthas. Therefore, we sing every morning. Bahir nasingo hridaye nasingha. That means nishinga within, nishinga without. So I appreciate your point. There has to be qualification. To push nishinga without, we have to have nishinga within. If you want to revolutionize the world, you must revolutionize your own heart. So you must cultivate pure bhakti. We don't have it yet, that's the problem. If we had pure bhakti in 18 days, we could make the whole world Krishna conscious. But we don't have pure bhakti, that's the problem. Therefore, we have to beg for pure bhakti. We have to intensely beg for pure bhakti. Do you know that prayer to intensely beg for pure bhakti? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, Prabhupada says we should chant Hare Krishna 24 hours. So we have to become chant and become free from the nama aparādhas. To the extent that you cleanse yourself of the nama aparādhas, to that extent and only to that extent will you be potent for pushing forward this spiritual revolution.
jūs sevi attīrat, jūs būsiet spējīgs ietekmēt situāciju, vai šo revolūciju, šis izmaiņas.
So there's how you do it. You have to get free of the nama aparāns. We are all struggling with these nama aparāns, all of us. So we have to help each other to get free from these nama aparāns. Next question.
You were talking about pure bhakti, but at that point, is it pure bhakti or non-pure bhakti? To my mind, it is existent or non-existent, and that's it. No, why here? Tad tīra kalpošana, netīra kalpošana, ir vai nu kalpošana, vai nav kalpošana, reāli.
So about pure bhakti. So according to my understanding, pure bhakti or unpure bhakti, is there such a term like a pure bhakti? The service is the service. Bhakti is bhakti.
There's even one song called Shuddha Bhakta. Shubhav Shuddha Bhakata Saranarina. There's a whole song about Shuddha Bhakti. Yes, there is a thing as Shuddha Bhakti. There's pure bhakti and there's mixed bhakti also. There is such a thing. The Shuddha Nam, the pure name. In the beginning, there are three stages of chanting, it is described. There's the offensive stage of chanting when you're full of all offenses. There is the clearing stage of chanting as you're beginning to clear off those offenses. And then there's a stage of pure bhakti where your chanting is completely free from all offenses.
Un tad ir trešā stadija, kas ir tīra atkārtošana, kad jūs esat pilnībā atbrīvojies no visiem apvainojumiem.
This is compared to the sunrise.
Un to salīdzina ar saules aušanu.
In the early morning it's completely black. You cannot see any sunlight.
Agri no rīta, tad ir ļoti tumšs un nekāda saules gaita nav redzama.
But then there's a little sliver of light on the eastern horizon coming up. And then the darkness goes away and then it becomes fully bright.
You see.
So the beginning our chanting is just like in the dark. But as you keep chanting, there's a little bit of light comes, a little bit of light comes. And as you continue chanting, then it becomes fully bright and all the darkness is gone. So there's definitely a distinction between the dark, the little sliver of light, and the full brightness.
Yes.
Just like every morning when the sun rises. The Krishna sun rises within your heart. When you seriously follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. Next, yes.
Question before this, that one should be qualified or one should get educated to be how to preach. But Shama Sundar and them, they went to England. There was no qualification, there was nothing required. They just depend on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada.
Tātad jautājums par kvalifikāciju bija, ka mums ir no sākuma jākļūst kvalificētiem, apmācītiem, tad mēs varam sludināt.
They didn't have a Bhakti Shastri degree.
Bet kā piemērā Shyama Sundara, kuri devās uz Lielbritāniju, viņiem nebija nekādas kvalifikācijas.
They simply had the enthusiasm. They had faith and enthusiasm.
Jā, viņiem nebija nekāds bakti šāta diploms, viņiem vienkārši bija ticība un entuziasms tam, ko viņi dara.
Let's say there's a movie theater. You're watching them, you're going to a foreign country and you're watching, you're sitting in the movie theater, you don't know the language. And you notice all of a sudden, no, you're the only one who notices that the theater is now on fire. But you don't know the language. You have no qualification to speak their language. Not even one word. You don't even know the word fire in their language. So what will you do? You let them burn in the fire? No. And somehow or other, you will communicate to them, they got to get out of that theater. Your desire is the only requirement. If you truly desire to save people from this material world, Krishna in your heart will help you. Any other questions? Let's see if they need to come to the internet. We have devotees in hearing from different countries here. Nobody, no questions from the internet either. Devotees from India, devotees from the UK. Devotees from South Africa. Anything? Yeah.
Today in Latvia we have an Independence Day celebration. Renewal of independence, actually. So, what should be our attitude towards our country if, for example, our country has given us opportunity to, for example, freely practice our religious beliefs? So how we must approach to the country?
Prabhupada very much appreciated America, actually.
He
said, India is my mother, America is my father. Because America gave him so much facility for starting his movement. A movement needs men and money. So America gave Prabhupada men and money. So Prabhupada very much appreciated. They gave him some legal status also in America. Legal status, he was able, some legal status for remaining, yeah, preaching in America. So Prabhupada, so if your country is facilitating, you can appreciate very much. They are blessed by the... By this country, where they're giving you the facility for practicing Krishna consciousness and spreading Him, just like I've heard, they have some rule about you can't do any religious processions without a permit. But they allow you to do Harinam without a permit. They just kindly allow you to kind of like, you know, skirt around the all the strict rules. They do that here in Liga.
Tātad, piemēram, ja jūsu valsts palīdz un atļauj jums kaut kādā veidā praktizēt, jums tas ir jānovērtē. Piemēram, esam dzirdējis ar vietas, kur jūs nevarat veikt nekādas reliskās darbības, tās neceskanījot, bet šeit, piemēram, Rīgā...
So that is their qualification. That is their qualification. There is some piety there.
Tā ir zināma jopības.
They're allowing them, you see.
Ka tas ir šeit pieļams un atļauts.
So one can appreciate very much.
Šādus, saprotu, momentus var novērtēt.
Prabhupada said, if you love your country, then you must give them Krishna consciousness. They are dying. So you can love your Latvian countrymen by giving them Krishna consciousness. That is your love for them. Anything else? Пожидаемся.
И когда мы проповедуем, мы говорим на, ну, на духовные темы, и для людей они, ну, как космические, непонятные. И, ну, они просто не понимают. И это, ну, препятствие. Язык не найти, проповедую людям, рассказывая о Кришне, они тебя принимают как космонавта. Как относиться к этому, что ты для них просто непонятный человек, говоришь на непонятном языке, хоть это язык и родной, ну, может быть, одинаково.
When you preach and when you talk to the people, you approach them with the spiritual topics, which they do not understand, and you look weird to them. So how to deal with that?
Kad jūs, kad cilvēks, kad tiek sludināts uz ielām, mēs vēršamies pie cilvēkiem ar dažādām garīgām tēmām, runājam par Krišnu, bet viņi mums nesaprot, viņi mums skatās kā uz dīvainiem cilvēkiem, kā kosmonautiem, un kā to tik galā šādā veidā situācijām?
You have to learn how to preach better.
Jums ir jāiemācās labāk sludināt.
Prabhupada explains, you present these books in the best descriptive language you can convince anyone, even an atheist, to purchase them.
Prabhupada teica, tad, kad jūs izplatāt šīs grāmatas, jums tās ir jāpasniedz vislabākajā iespējamā veidā, tā, ka pat ateists tās nopirktu.
If you are not able to preach nicely, you haven't heard nicely.
Un, ja jūs nevarat tādā labā veidā sludināt, tad jūs neesat...
You have to learn how to hear. You have to learn how to hear better.
Tad jums ir vienkārši jāmācās, kā labāk saklausīt to vēstījumu.
Because one who has heard nicely this philosophy, they can preach very nicely and attract people.
Tāpēc, ka tie, kuriem ir izdevies sadzirdēt, saprast šo filozofiju, viņi spēja arī ļoti labā veidā sludināt.
You cannot preach nicely, you are deficient in your hearing.
Ja jūs nevarat tā teikt efektīvi sludināt, tas nozīmē, ka jums ir jāuzlabo.
You have to learn how to hear.
Jums ir jāiemācās labāk tā kā klausīties.
And when you hear nicely, you can preach very nicely, you can attract so many people. You just have to learn how to hear nicely.
Kad jūs iemācāties labi klausīties, jūs arī varat labi sludināt, tāpēc sākotnē ir jāiemācās labi klausīties.
Anything else?
Vēl kāds jautājums?
Okay, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very, very much. 50th anniversary of ISKCON ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanand ki jai.
Great Sankarshan Das Adhikarini Maharaj ki jai.